Welcome back to our series, Overcome, as today we bring it to a conclusion. Every one of us at some time or another will face things that can be overwhelming. Often these things have been outside of our control, but sometimes we bring them upon ourselves. But no matter what or why, there is a way to overcome. God cares about you. And in this series, we've been looking at what God offers to those of us who need to overcome. At the first week, we looked at what would it take to face the giants in our lives. And then we looked at how do we climb the mountains that stand before us. And then last week, we looked at how we could turn failures into victory. And today I want to conclude our series by reminding us that we should never give up. Let me tell you a true story about an explorer in the early 1900s. His name was Ernest Shackleton. He had been part of leading two British expeditions by sea to the Antarctic. And after his second journey, he decided to make preparations for a third expedition that would become called the Imperial Trans-Antarctic Expedition. It was a crossing of the Antarctic from sea to sea by walking across the Antarctic through the South Pole. There were two major obstacles in the way of this expedition. It was the cold and the ice. And despite those obstacles, he began to make plans to carry out this expedition. And so in recruiting a crew, he put an advertisement in the London papers, and it read like this. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in the case of success. After gathering his crew, he set sail on August the 8th, 1914. Shackleton thought that this expedition would be completed in 4 months, in 120 days. So they set sail. But after 45 days at sea, their ship got caught in the ice, and the ice began to close in around the ship and hold it. And they had named their ship Endurance. And here's a picture of their ship locked in the ice. While the ship was stuck in the ice, the temperatures began to reach to like minus 85 degrees Celsius. Now get this. 282 days later, the ice crushed the ship. There was nothing left of it. So now the ship has been crushed and the crew are stranded on the frozen sea, on the ice floes. They would survive by making shelters and trying to ride out the winter. They had lifeboats and sleds and supplies, but these supplies had to weigh at least 1,000 pounds. So what were they going to do now? I mean, it must feel pretty hopeless. Remember he said, safe return, doubtful. I'm sure as they spent days and weeks on that ice floe, everything looked doubtful. It looks like there's no way any of them will ever overcome. They're stuck in this place, this trap where life has them right now, but this crew teaches us to never give up. Maybe you've been working hard to overcome situations in your life. Maybe you've even been praying and believing that God will help you overcome, but you haven't seen much change in your situation. Maybe none. Maybe you've been trying for so long that you've been tempted to give up, to throw in the towel, to lose hope and to lose heart. But I want you to understand today, I want us to take some time to see what the Apostle Paul says about such type of situation. He went through one himself and he talks to us about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6 this morning. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul is writing to us about his experience. And with what he describes, he calls it the thorn in his flesh. Paul isn't writing to tell us about the hardship that he's enduring and have pity on me. No, he's writing to encourage us. He's writing to give us hope. He's writing to provide for us understanding when we face these kind of situations. And what we really need to consider here from what Paul is telling us is this: how do we handle the gap between what we need and what God does? How do we handle that time in between, that gap? I mean, we do not know exactly what the thorn in his flesh is. In fact, Paul never tells us. Many scholars believe it was probably some type of physical affliction, but Paul seems to have kept the exact issue private, most likely on purpose. Now, this actually works as an advantage to you and I. We don't know exactly what it is, but we can all picture something. I mean, every person can identify with a thorn, as every one of us has had something in life that we have had to deal with. The real question is this: what are you begging God to help you with? What is it that you need God to intervene in your life today? Maybe it's your marriage, your health, kids, a job, your finances, your grief, your loss. Maybe you're fighting depression or hurt and pain. What do you need God's help with today? Paul goes on to tell us that he prayed three times that God would remove this thorn from his life. Now, the idea here is not just that Paul prayed three times. I think the language and the picture that he's trying to paint for us is bigger than that. He's probably had three different seasons of prayer, three different prolonged times of prayer where he's brought this request to God. I don't think it's like he prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he stopped. I think there were three times, three seasons of time where he would bring this to God. And it seems that the first two times that Paul prayed, God did not provide a response. God did not give him an answer. And I could assume that Paul must be wondering, what is going on here? I've been praying and I don't hear anything. I think many of us can relate to that. How many of us keep asking God for something and it feels like there's no answer? The biggest question is, what do you do when it seems God doesn't answer? Do you get upset with God? Do you begin to wonder if prayer even helps, let alone does it matter? Do you wonder if God is even listening to you? Do you wonder if God even cares? Well, Paul would have us consider it this way. How do we handle the gap between what we need and what God does? Do we get angry with God when the answer is delayed? Do we give up on God when we do not get what we want? Are we willing to trust God even when we don't understand, even when we can't see the end? But let's look at what Paul is writing, because he's not finished telling us his story. And he goes on in verse 9 to tell us this. But he said to me, that he is Jesus. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, if I were Paul, I'd be asking for a retake. I'd say, God, you're not really hearing what I'm asking you for. God, your answer is not what I've been praying for. Remember, Paul is praying, Lord, take away this thorn. And God says, don't worry about it. In your weakness, I will be strong. Like, no, God, that's not what I'm asking you to do. Isn't that like us so much? We ask God a question, and we're expecting a certain type of answer. We say to God, I want you to take this problem away. We say to God, I want you to change this situation. And we get to a point where we get frustrated, we get tired, and we get down on ourselves, and we get down on God, and we say, God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't keep going on. God, please fix this now. Sometimes we say, or else, but there is no or else. I mean, Paul has been pleading with God for three seasons of prayer. Three times Paul has been going after God. Please, God, take away this situation. Please, God, remove this thorn from my life. Paul doesn't get what he's asking for. God doesn't take it away. Instead, God gives him a promise. Now, let's be honest. A promise isn't what we're looking for. Right? We do not want a promise. We want a solution. See, sometimes we get mixed up between transformation and substitution. When Paul prays three times for the removal of his thorn, he was asking God for a substitution. Lord, take this away. Give me health instead of sickness. Give me deliverance instead of pain and weakness. And sometimes God does move that way. I'm not saying he doesn't. And it's miraculous when he does. Sometimes God moves and he substitutes an illness with health. He takes away pain and gives us peace. Sometimes God moves that way, but other times God meets our need through transformation. The transformation of our hearts and the transformation of our lives. Sometimes God doesn't remove the affliction, but he gives us grace so that the affliction works for us and not against us. Now, that's the key. You need to understand when God wants to do something in our lives, it's because he wants to work for us. He wants to make us better. He wants to make us more like Jesus. But here's the issue that we have as people. Promises are great. But promises are not really helpful when we're in the middle of a tough situation. When we're in the middle of the pain, when the thorn is pressing against us, all we want is the thorn, the pain, the problem, the situation to be removed. See, when you are hurting and in need of overcoming something in your life, a promise just doesn't seem to cut it. What we really want is a solution. What we want, something that will stop the pain and turn the situation around. This is what we expect from God. That when we go to God with our problem, we expect God to answer by fixing it, by turning it around for our benefit, by correcting the problem. We want God to close the gap between what my life is now and what I want it to be. Let's be honest. If God doesn't come through the way we expect him to, sometimes it shakes our faith in him, even sometimes just for a little bit. We begin to wonder about God. We begin to wonder about the reality of God. And sometimes we wonder about the power of God. See, we're not really interested in the promise. What we really want is the solution. Thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us here. He ends this thought with verse 10. It says this, "This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul is telling us, lean into the promise and refuse to quit. Lean into the promise and refuse to quit. Paul receives the promise of God, and he uses a word that we would not expect to find here. He says the word, or uses the word delight. He says, I delight. To delight means to take pleasure with or to be pleased with. Paul is saying, I'm taking pleasure with my weakness. I'm pleased with my weakness. It gets deeper than that, because you remember Paul is saying, Lord, take away this thorn. But when God gives him a promise, he leans into it. And he says, therefore, if that's what I'm going to get, God, I'm going to delight in my weakness. See, Paul's not saying he's happy that he gets to suffer. Understand that. Paul isn't saying, oh, this is great. Whoopee, I'm going to suffer now. No, he's saying, but I'm learning to take delight in what God is giving me. Paul was saying that he has learned that this thorn was now a gift from God. Now, it may not be the kind of gift you or I want, but God would use it to accomplish his purposes in Paul's life. Notice that God did not answer by removing the thorn or by changing the situation. God answered with his promise. God answered that he would provide strength in the middle of the weakness, strength in the middle of pain. And God is saying to him things like this, I am going to give you sufficient grace. That there'll never be a shortage of God. God is saying to Paul, there'll never be a shortage of my strength and my grace in your life. There'll never be a shortage of me in your life. There'll be sufficient grace. And there would be strengthening grace. That God would provide his strength in the place of Paul's weakness. That every time Paul felt that he was too weak to carry on, God said, I'm going to give you strengthening grace. And God said, I'm going to provide transformation. See, if substitution is not the answer, then transformation is. It's the transformation through the power of God. It's God who brings his power to transform our lives. Because as I said a few moments ago, God is concerned with who we are on the inside. God is concerned with our hearts. God is concerned with making you a man or woman of God. See, we need to learn to live on God's promises. Our feelings change. Our feelings go up and down. Our feelings change sometimes like the wind, but God's promises never change. And promises generate faith, and faith strengthens hope, and hope causes us to never give up, to never quit. God took this tragedy of the thorn and turned it into the triumph of grace. God transformed Paul's weakness into strength. Allow me to finish the story of Shackleton that I told you about at the beginning. So there's Shackleton and his crew stranded on the ice floes. And the ice is actually taking them hundreds of miles away from their target. The temperature is minus 85 degrees Celsius. There's no port in sight. It must be so hard to imagine. The team ended up being stranded on the ice floe for over a year, out of touch with the rest of the world. Their family had no idea what had become of them. Were they dead? Were they alive? They probably faced hunger, probably severe hunger. They faced frostbite. They faced probably hopelessness. This whole thing sounds like a tragedy for this crew. But it's not the end of the story. Eventually, the ice floes freed up. They jumped in one of the lifeboats, and some of them men traveled like over 1,000 kilometers to get to a port where they can get a rescue ship to go back and get them. 634 days from the start of the expedition, Shackleton and all 28 men in his crew were rescued. It's not a tragedy. It's actually one of the greatest stories of overcoming. See, Shackleton refused to throw in the towel. He never quit. He never gave up. He never said, we might as well just freeze to death and die here. No, he kept moving forward. He kept believing one step, one day after another, that something was going to change. A big part of overcoming is just that. Perseverance, tenacity, staying in the fight, and refusing to quit. This never giving up attitude. With what Paul has been telling us about his experience, he was telling us the same thing in a different way. That what we have is we've been given the ability to be overcomers. Not because of our own perseverance or tenacity. Not just because we refuse to quit, but because we have the power of God to strengthen us when we are weak. And so Paul encourages you today to handle the gap between what you want and what God does in your life. That just because you want a solution doesn't mean God will do it your way. And learn to lean into the promises that God has for you and never give up. For those of you who are followers of Christ, you need to trust God's promises. You need to know that God is always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never forgets you. He never leaves you on your own. He is always present. And you need to remember that God always has your best interests at heart. And he's working everything so that you would be prepared for eternity with him. Maybe you're watching me today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus invites you into a personal relationship with him, that you could have the same strength that Paul wrote about in facing the struggles of life in the power of God, that you can know Jesus today by simply accepting who he is, that he is the Son of God, and believing that he came from God to this world ultimately to die on the cross, like we celebrated earlier today in our communion time, and believe what he said and believe what he did with his life, and then confess. Confess that Jesus is the Lord. Confess that you need the forgiveness of sins. Confess that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. If you do these three things, if you accept, believe, and confess, you become a follower of Jesus. And now you can live the rest of your life following Jesus and growing in relationship with God. Now, if that's you today, we as a church, we want to help you. And we ask you to reach out to us so that we can begin to help you on your faith journey. And just text us the word love to 416-267-1189, and please follow the prompts, or if you're on our online platform, just click the button that's popping up there for you. We want to stay in touch with you and help you in your spiritual journey, and it's so good to know that you can become a follower of Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, we give you all honor and glory, and we thank you today that Paul shares his own personal experience with us, showing us that we can be overcomers as long as we never give up. That we can be overcomers if we lean into the power of God in our lives. So Lord, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for this encouragement. May you strengthen us from our insides out. May you touch our hearts that we would not give up. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.